So you still keep Lisa as part of your prayers, right? Now you start to thank God for what he did.
Yes.
Okay? Just thank him. We have a real habit of asking him when we need, and I mean, we're good at asking, right? We aren't real good at thanking afterwards when we get what we needed. Amen? That's just an observation, not a condemnation, okay? Amen? You can't be quiet on me now, okay? You can't be quiet when somebody just got healed of cancer in our congregation. You can't be quiet. You can't say amen. You got to yell amen. You can't. Come on. Amen. 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 All right. Well, that's all for today. No, not really. We are in a series that's entitled Fundamental Foundations, and the title for this morning is Holy Hands, Part 2. It's part 6 of our series. A couple weeks ago, we discussed the elementary principle of the laying on of hands. It just has taken on a whole new meaning since I got that text, all right? A whole new meaning. But we talked about the principle of the laying on of hands as when God lays his hands on people. All right, that was the first we heard of that. You know, we know that God visits his people. We know we see the touch of God on people's lives. But if you ever realize that God actually, in that way, figuratively, lays his hands on your life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And if you didn't hear that, you know, we gave a lot of illustrations of it. You may want to watch the message from last week, from 2 weeks ago. Okay? But one of the main points that we learned was this. That when God touches you, everything changes. Amen? When God touches you, everything changes. You cannot receive a touch from God and stay the same. You aren't the same person, whether it's when you just first get saved, whether it is again if you get healed. Maybe you're just, you know, you're saved, but you're just a jerk. Yes, that can happen. But you don't have to stay that way, okay? You can praise God when he delivers you from being a jerkdom, amen. A jerk, whatever, okay? But you cannot stay the same once he touches you. And that's what I pray for all of you every Sunday morning, is that God would touch you, okay? Not that I don't like you the way you are, but just like anything, like me, like Gary, we all need to be changed, amen? More changed into the image of Christ. This week we're going to hear about this fundamental foundation as it's used in the New Testament. So why don't we stand and we'll declare our Bible declaration together. And boy, if there's ever a day for you to say it like you mean it, okay, it's today.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? I found myself wanting to say things like, hey, did you hear Lisa was healed? And I'd want to say, yeah, can you believe it? It's like, yeah, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Can you believe it? That shouldn't even be a, yeah, I can believe it. I've got a God that does that kind of thing. Amen. All right. Sorry if I'm a little fixated on that point, okay? All right. Let's say this Bible declaration with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go. Let's hear the Word of God and let it change us. If you would turn to our scripture passage for this series, that's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. That'd be good. You might find something that you want to write down in that area. Now, if you didn't bring your Bible, okay, it's right there, all right? So, are we ready? All of those that are turned are turned. All those that are turned up, right? Okay. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. He's permitting, okay? We've looked at the laying on of hands throughout the Old Testament, okay? That's what we looked at 2 weeks ago. And today we're going to look at, if you will, the laying on of hands in Jesus' ministry. And if time allows, which I'm sure it will, I don't have that long of a message, you know, that the what part laying on of hands has in our ministry, in the ministry of the believer, in the ministry of the Christian. I'm not just talking about the ministry of the pastor, deacon, or elder, or whatever, okay? I'm talking about the ministry of the believer. All right. One thing I want you to remember is this is written as and among the elementary principles of Christ, okay? And that's so important for you and I to build a proper foundation in our Christian walk. We have to grab a hold of these truths that I'm preaching of and make them a part of our life. You know, it's like when the laying on of hands, when the opportunity comes on, along, you know what we should do? We should lay hands on people. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, please turn to Luke 4, verse 40. Yeah, okay. All right. Luke 4, 40. Are you there? When the sun was setting, how many of you live your day sometimes waiting for the sun to set? You just can't wait to go back to bed. Two people, that's good. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on every one of them. Listen, he laid hands, this is Jesus, okay? He laid hands on every one of them. How many? Every one of them. Just picture this. Jesus arrives in town, okay? And all, say all. All of the people in this town began literally just, they started pouring out of their homes, vacating their houses in order to get to the place where Jesus was. And they were bringing all, say all. All right. All that were sick, all that were diseased, all that were oppressed to Jesus. If anybody had anything wrong with them, they were bringing them to Jesus because they understand and they knew that he had the power to heal. I mean, this was a huge amount of people that came out that day. Yet the Bible tells us Jesus laid hands on every single one that needed his healing touch. How many of you believe every word in the Bible? Then you have to believe everyone, okay? Everyone. He laid hands on all of them. Now, there were times in Jesus' earthly ministry where he healed people through different means other than the laying out of hands, okay? Such as a spoken word, all right? He taught us that we can pray over distances. You know, we don't have to be present to pray, okay? Jesus would just speak the word every once in a while, okay? And someone would be healed. But this wasn't the norm, okay? This wasn't the normal practice of Jesus. Jesus used this practice of laying on of hands. Whether he did that for us, I don't know. I think he probably did. But I'm going to tell you something. He used that practice. I remember an evangelist. Actually, it was Kenneth Hagin that we went to see. And he said this, okay? And I know some don't agree with Kenneth Hagin, whether they do, whether they don't. Don't let that change this. But he used to say this. He said, one way, not the only way, but one way that Jesus heals the sick is through the laying on of hands. Every time he'd preach, he'd get done, he'd say, one way, not the only way, but one way that Jesus heals the sick is through the laying on of hands. You see, Jesus understood that being who, not just who he was, being in this case a believer, if you can call him that, but someone full of the Holy Ghost, amen? Okay, maybe that's easier to take in. Full of the Holy Ghost, the healing and deliverance were primarily wrought and primarily brought through the laying on of hands. Say the laying on of hands. He knew that his hands were the primary instrument or the conduits, if you will, through which God would impart power and gifts and authority and physical healing to people and whatever they needed. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, we learn something a little bit strange, all right? That when Jesus went to his own village, it was different. The Bible says that, it says this, huh? He could do no mighty work there. Must be a misprint, huh? Right? That's not. He could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. How could that be? How could that be? How could it be that God in the flesh couldn't heal people? It just doesn't make sense to me. But listen, despite the huge faith problem that Jesus encountered in his hometown, we see Jesus once again using or employing his hands to impart the supernatural signs that were needed. All right? This verse is actually really a very powerful verse that most people don't really completely understand. And that's only because they haven't really taken time to examine it, okay? You know, I've always looked at that and thought, well, everybody that had a sniffle and everybody that stubbed their toe went to Jesus that day and got healed, right? Well, maybe not. All right. You have to understand that when Jesus traveled to his hometown, I mean, especially his hometown, amen, he went there with healing power. And he knew that. And he was ready to do there in his own hometown what he had been doing everywhere else. And that was to heal all, say all. All right. All who came to him. But the Bible says that in Jesus' hometown, there was people who were full of doubt and full of unbelief because they couldn't get past their own familiar view of who they thought Jesus was. They couldn't get past seeing him as the carpenter's son, to see him with a spiritual perspective of any kind or any point of view. And because of this, the Bible says they couldn't receive from him. He couldn't do it because they couldn't believe it. That's why maybe why I felt convicted, you know. Lisa's healed. Wow, I don't believe it. What? Wait, you know. Believe it, okay? Just believe it. Amen. But this verse where we're told that, you know, he really couldn't heal those people because they couldn't receive from him, this verse issues a bit of a warning to you and I, okay? It really does. We need to be careful that as Christians, that we don't fall into the same familiarity. Yeah. Come on. That we think we know Jesus that well. We should be striving, we should know all there is to know about Jesus, but you know what? When we think that we know him that well, it can make it so it's hard for us to receive from him because it's something different. Amen? Yeah. We know how he operates, right? We know kind of how he operates, all right? He can do more things. Yes. Don't think you've learned everything that there is to know about him. And you may know Jesus well. There's people that know Jesus a million times better than I do. But when you think you know him, and when you think you know it all, he proves that there is more to him than you think. Amen? I love it when he proves to me that he's more than I thought he was. Amen? When he takes me from the place that I was to the place that I needed to be, and there was no human way to get there, I praise God that he did that. Amen? I praise God that he can do different things with different people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please notice what this verse does tell us, okay? It says this, now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. The phrase, a few sick people, sounds like Jesus did something rather minor. Amen? It does. Like maybe there were sick a little bit of sick people, you know, not so good, and Jesus lays hands on them and he healed them. But it wasn't big things like cancer. It wasn't the big things like leprosy and lameness and blindness. You know, he was stopped from that. But that isn't really the case. Because what's interesting here is this. The word sick in this verse is the Greek word arustos, okay? Which is the very word that's used to describe people who were extremely ill. All right, extremely ill. Not just a little sick, but extremely ill. Maybe even to the point of being, now hear this, please. Maybe even to the point of being comatose. Kind of changes the meaning of that verse, doesn't it? We're talking about very, very extremely sick people. Probably people who were on the verge of death from maybe cancer. Maybe the leprosy had eaten all their skin. You know, maybe they hadn't seen a day in their life and couldn't make a living. Are you with me? All right. He went to them. Okay? He laid hands on them. And they're the ones that got healed. It wasn't a little thing that he did. It was a great thing that he did. I don't really know of too many ungreat things that Jesus has done. How about the things that he's done in your life? They've been pretty great? Yeah. Amen? Yeah? Like taking you out of the world? Come on, people. Taking you out of the world and placing you in the kingdom of God? Taking that list that was held against you and getting rid of it? Because, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not just the days, no, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. You could say that this verse is saying Jesus couldn't find any conscious people of faith that he could work with, so he found unconscious people so he could work with them. Unfortunately, sometimes it's easier for Jesus to do work. Don't get mad at me, okay? It's easy for Jesus to do work with the unconscious, uninformed people rather than the churched people of faith who doubt some facets of what Jesus can do. I'm going to say that again, and you can just stay in the sanctuary, though, okay? Sometimes it's easier for Jesus to work with the unconscious, uninformed people rather than churched people of faith who doubt some facets of Jesus' ability. I could go into that, but we want to go home today, right? But how did Jesus heal these arustos people, these extremely ill people, these not going to make it till tomorrow people? He laid his hands on them. The Bible says that. All right. He laid his hands on them. Why? To impart healing power. Jesus understood that the way that God had designed his power to flow was this way, through the laying on of hands. Amen? You know, one way, not the only way, but one way Jesus heals people is through the laying on of hands. Amen? Why would we ever, if we see somebody that needs to be prayed for, why would we hang back? If we're in their presence, why don't we go up and give God the glory and pray for them? Oh, but what if he doesn't get healed? That's not your problem.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
That's God's problem. And he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of problem with it.
Thank you.
The following, and I'm going to kind of give you a little list, are just some examples of the Gospels of Matthew and Mark that show us how this important principle was and how it was so importantly demonstrated throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, okay? So, are you ready? I know you would be, yeah. In Matthew 8:3, and I do this, I give you all these examples because I want you to see, I'm not just pulling one scripture out of the Bible and making it say something obscure, okay? This is the way of things, all right? Matthew 8:3, Jesus laid his hands on a man and healed him, period. Matthew 8:15, Jesus laid his hands on Peter's mother-in-law and healed her. Matthew 9:29, he laid his hands on blind people and healed them. Matthew 17:7, again we see Jesus laying his hands on the apostles and divinely imparted encouragement to them. In Matthew 20:34, Jesus again lays his hands on blind people. It's amazing. And as his healing power passed through his hands into them, they were healed. Glory to God. In Mark 1:41, as Jesus laid his hands on a leper, and he, you know what, you shouldn't do that, right? Well, he knew he was above leprosy. As Jesus laid his hands on a leper, power passed through his hands, say through his hands, and the leper was cleansed and set free at that moment. And finally in Mark 8:22, Jesus again laid his hands on a blind man, and healing power passed through his hands, say through his hands, into the blind man, and the blind man was healed. He was healed. Can you imagine if you were blind? If it was from birth, boy, that would be amazing. Even if it was through partway through your life, if you had lost your sight, and all of a sudden this guy comes and just lays his hands on you, and you can see.
Amen.
You know, that's really not any different than it was for you when you got born again. You didn't see it before. Come on. You didn't see it before, but now you see it. Amen. You didn't understand and couldn't understand why people were so crazy about this Jesus dude. Well, you know, all of a sudden now you can see why they were so crazy about this guy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we could go through the Gospels of Luke and John and find many more examples of Jesus laying his hands on people. How many of you can see from this that Jesus quite often laid his hands on people?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But let's move on and look at the laying on of hands in the book of Acts. This doctrine of laying on of hands, and I'm either going to get sick of saying laying on of hands or you're going to get sick of hearing laying on of hands, okay? This doctrine of the laying on of hands didn't stop when Jesus was taken out of the picture. It continued in the infant church. And the early believers knew that the laying on of hands is a foundational, elementary principle that whenever there was a laying on of hands, there was some kind of spiritual or supernatural transmission and impartation that took place. And it's no different today, people. Let me give you a for instance, all right? The Bible tells us in Acts 6, verses 3 through 6, that the apostles laid hands on a group of men who were to become the deacons of the first church. Notice that it doesn't say the apostles just prayed for and acknowledged the men who were to take these positions. They didn't do that. This sadly sounds like something that we might do in the church today. That'd be my fault. You can laugh at that or clap at that. I don't know. All right? But it does. It sounds like something that we do today. Hey, let's all just pray. But the apostles knew that in order for these men that had been chosen by God to be the deacons that they were supposed to be, they had to be supernaturally and spiritually equipped. And in order to receive the divine power to do their jobs, the apostles had to lay their hands on them for what? To impart that power. To impart their power? No, to impart God's power. Because God uses people. God uses people's hands as conduits to get them healed, to get them set free. They encourage them to take them to the place where they need to be. To even open their eyes, amen? My buddy Felix was pretty big in opening my eyes, all right, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that instant when the apostles laid hands on these men, all the spiritual equipment, if you will, that they needed to be deacons were downloaded into them, all right? It was just, boom, they had it. I mean, that's amazing. So what does that tell us? It tells us that the apostles who had been taught by Jesus, there was no middleman there, okay? They were taught by Jesus, were now continuing in the pattern of their master. They were doing what they saw being done. Amen? They had not only been taught that principle, but they had made it a part of their firm foundation. It wasn't like, hey, you think we should go lay hands on those guys before they take? No, they just knew they laid hands on them. It was going to happen. A part of their foundation. Then in Acts 13, verses 1 through 3, we have the account of the ordination of Barnabas and Saul into the apostolic ministry. And just let me read that to you. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Okay? I think my iPad's going bad. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, they let them go. No. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. All right. Again, they understood that through the laying on of hands, there would be a divine transfer, some kind of spiritual or supernatural transmission or impartation to Barnabas and Saul of God's calling and anointing, okay, his gifting, if you will, and his spiritual authority. They knew that they were the conduits through which those men would be empowered. Amen?
Amen.
It's all God, but it's all, are you with me? Out of obedience, we sometimes miss this, but out of obedience, we bridge the gap between God and man. Amen? Amen. Amen. But in the same way, God's spiritual blessings can be transferred through the hand of every believer today. When we listen to his leading, okay? When we listen to his leading. As has been true throughout the Bible, the whole thing, the hands of God's chosen people are the chosen instruments he has chosen to use. All right? That's a lot of chosens. All right? But he's chosen to do it this way. Does that in any way negate God's power in this? Absolutely not. Your hands don't hold any power. Come on, people. You know what? But the Holy Spirit working in you, through you, and God working that way is where the power comes from. Again, in Acts 8, 14 through 17, the Bible tells us that Philip had gone to Samaria to preach Christ to the people who lived there. This passage tells us what happened when Peter and John traveled to Samaria to join Philip. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then what happened? Then they laid hands on them. I heard that somewhere. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When they laid hands on the people, come on, when that action happened, all right, a transfer of God's power took place. And at that very moment, the people were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Amen. Glory to God. In fact, there was this guy that's standing around. His name was Simon the Sorcerer, who was present, saw what was manifesting. He saw it all happening, okay? And it caused him to covet the power that caused such a manifestation. He wanted that power. And it's like this. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." So Jesus took an offering. No. I'm sorry. Give me also this power that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Notice it says in verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, what if they wouldn't have laid their hands on him? They could have received the Holy Ghost. But the laying on of hands, it showed just a tremendous transfer of power. Yes. Amen? Amen. Yes. Amen. There was something divine. I mean, something powerful happens, okay? Something was happening that Simon the Sorcerer could see with his own eyes. And that something was a result of the divine impartation, if you will, that was taking place as the apostles laid their hands on people. That's encouraging for you and I. Amen? This has popped into our church age, okay? This laying on of hands. And in the New Testament epistles, we find some very key verses that also speak to this. Let me just give this to you. In Mark 16, 18, we find Christ's command to everybody, all believers, okay? They, believers, shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick, shall recover. All right? That's what he's saying in that verse. That means, you want to know what that means? I want to know what that means. But that means that every single believer, that's you, that's me, that's the person sitting next to you on the right or on the left, okay? They have been ordained by God, amen? Been ordained by God to use their hands to transfer his power and blessing to somebody else. Amen. Glory to God. Because through your hands, Jesus stands ready to impart his blessing, his power, his healing, his deliverance to those that need it. Have you ever been in a place where you needed the deliverance of God? Amen. Amen. Nothing speaks more power to me than the deliverance of God. I told Serena, you know, just because I'm saved, I'm not going to quit drinking. No, it was an issue in my life. But, you know, God doesn't care. I never drank again. I wasn't intending to not drink again. I was fully intending to drink again. I had told her that God said it was okay. But I never wanted it. And it was so important in my life. But the deliverance of God, the touch of God on your life, praise God. Praise God. This also means that a primary reason, we don't see more supernatural activity is that God's people aren't using their hands. Are you with me?
Yes.
Your hands can be used to impart the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. The healing of the sick, the deliverance of the oppressed, anointing is to carry out special tasks, healings, all kinds of things, or any of God's many other spiritual blessings that he's so eager to bestow upon those who will receive in faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Maybe some of you, you've been asking yourself, oh, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. You know, I don't know what you want to do. I'll tell you, one thing that he wants you to do is lay hands on people and see them healed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's something I got to tell you this morning. God has to have your hands, okay? He has to have your hands in order to do that. You may be one of those who have questioned, you know, I wonder why we don't see more signs and wonders in the church today. You know, but the real question is, are we using our hands to lay hands on the sick? Are we using our hands? You can see why this elementary principle of Christ is so important. I didn't pull this out of some obscure, you know, scripture. This is one of the things, one of the six foundational things that we are supposed to have in our life. Okay? So, maybe you do ask that question. But the real question is, are we using our hands to lay hands on the sick? You know, that is. It's a crucial doctrine, for us to understand, to embrace, to walk in. God desires power to be demonstrated in the church, by the church, to the people. Are you with me this morning? Do you think that's a true statement this morning? I think it is, okay? And he wants to use you, and I can point to every one of you here today. He wants to use you, and he wants to use me, and he wants to use our hands, all right? So take one more look at your hands. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we looked at our hands. So I won't watch you. Just look at your hands. And give yourself a moment to realize with fresh understanding that there's more to your hands than just hands.
Amen.
They're instruments of God. Okay? Your hands are actually conduits through which all kinds of spiritual goods are meant to be transferred to God's people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or those becoming God's people. Glory to God. I think what we have to see is the importance and the prominence that God gives this doctrine. Right in the very center of these other foundational doctrines, which we're learning about, it shows us how interested he is in the personal touch. Come on. In the personal touch. God wants to touch us with his hand. We've learned that, right? And he wants us to touch each other and other people, all right, stay with me, with our hands so that they can be ministered to and then draw nearer to God themselves.
Amen.
He wants to use our hands. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat this, but like I said last week, praise God for the miracle of media ministry. That is awesome. We can reach people that we couldn't have reached before. But I'm going to tell you something. And I'm sure those that are watching realize this. It's, you know, nothing will ever take the place of the human touch.
Amen.
Nothing will ever take the place, you know, of being in and amongst, I think that isn't even King James, in and amongst God's people. You can't substitute anything for that. I mean, Mercy, keep watching from you know, from your TV or your computer or whatever you're doing. But nothing, nothing takes the place of the human touch. And God in his wisdom made it that way, but nothing will ever take its place. But he made it that way so that we would have to be connected to each other.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right.
So that we would be connected to each other, to experience his fullness here on this earth. That in itself is phenomenal wisdom. Especially in our day and age. You don't talk to anybody to get gas anymore, you know, unless you don't have an ATM card or something. You know, you don't have to talk to anybody to get groceries anymore. You can go to self-checkout, or you can order them online. Maybe talk to the person that delivers it. But God is saying, and again, you know, and you know this scripture. You know it. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, which is the manner of some, as you see the day approaching, you know. Why? Why? Because there's nothing. Say nothing. There's nothing that can take the place of the experience of worship, of the experience of the laying on of hands, of being connected to each other. How many of you here today can say, you know, I'm connected with these people? I know I'm connected with every one of you, okay? I'm connected, and you know, I have family, for sure, but you know what? So are you.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right.
So are you. So next week, we're going to talk about the elementary principle of eternal judgment. That ought to be fun, okay? I'm going to pray, all right? And then I'm going to have us repeat a prayer, if you would do that. All right, let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you have, the laying on of hands, we didn't have to be a part of it, but you made us a part of it. You made us a part of people's healings, deliverances. God, when you set people free, we can be a part of that. Thank you that you connect us that way. Thank you that we can, I guess just you and your wisdom made that happen. And it is so true, God, and I know one way, not the only way, that Jesus heals us through the laying out of hands. God, let us take every opportunity that we can lay hands on people. Let us, especially when we're prompted by the Holy Spirit to lay hands on those people, let us do it. Let us do it. Just remind us of this message. Remind us that we are conduits, God, that your healing power flows through us. God, thank you so much for making it so that the believer can be such a part of your ministry to your people. In Jesus' name. Now you can look up. The prayer is going to be right back here, okay? I'm going to read a section, then I'd like you to repeat it, okay? All right. Father, today I realize that my hands are your instruments.
Father, today I realize that my hands are your instruments.
That you want to deliver your gifts, your power, your healing, and your deliverance through my hands to bless others and to meet their needs.
And you want to deliver your gifts, your power, your healing, and deliverance through my hands.
All right, and if you mean this, raise your hands. Today I surrender my hands to you.
Today I surrender my hands to you.
As instruments and conduits for your goodness to flow through me to others. And I pray that through the laying on of my hands.
And I pray that through the laying on of my hands.
That we will see a great increase of your supernatural activity. Through the church, to bless many people's lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God.